Welcome to Texans on Tap, episode 34. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan 975. And if you like watching us live, we'll be on YouTube to react to Browns Texans following that game on Saturday. Guys, let's get into it. For being honest, most people would not have predicted that the Texans would be in the playoffs right now, much less win the division and host the first round of the wild card weekend. Although you probably could have predicted that if they did, they'd get a Saturday afternoon time slot. But hey, beggars can't be choosers. And as you'd say, Charlie, Texans fans have been for hunger as of late. And now we all get a big, tasty entree of Browns Texans on Saturdays. Another easy prediction would have been that the Texans with a rookie head coach and rookie quarterback would be underdogs. But CJ Stroud has not played like a rookie in his first NFL campaign. He didn't face the Browns in that week 16 thrashing at the hands of Cleveland, but Cleveland is a beast on defense, and they absolutely punished Case Keenum in that matchup last go round. What do you expect to see out of CJ in his playoff debut?
I don't see any reason to think he won't be poised or, oh, it's the playoffs, time for me to start panicking, since they played a de facto playoff game on the road. I actually think that they get that Saturday afternoon time slot if anything cuts in the Texans' favor since they played Saturday night. Of course, the Browns held out a lot of their key guys since their game Sunday did not mean anything. So I think Stroud will be fine. The question is, how will the Texans' offensive line be? Obviously, if Case Keenum was the quarterback, the Texans' offense would be expected to do what it did against Cleveland the first time, which is next to nothing. But Stroud is a game changer, maybe a league changer. But he's up against what, by many statistical measures, was the best defense in the NFL this year. The Browns get after the passer, of course, led by the great Myles Garrett. They also send a fifth man, so at least one extra pass rusher and a blitz, as much as any other team in the NFL, because they trust their couple of real good cornerbacks. Nico Collins coming off a monster game. Denzel Ward's a Pro Bowl-level corner for the Browns. So I don't think the Texans' offense is going to go off and score a ton of points, but I don't think it'll be because C.J. Stroud lays an egg.
Yeah, for me with C.J., I think it's just about what weapons is he going to have. You know, what are we going to get? Are we going to get Noah Brown back? Are we going to get Robert Woods? Because, you know, you saw in the Colts game, there wasn't a receiver for the Texans that had over 10 yards outside of Nico Collins. You know, Schultz plays tight end. He had, you know, a pretty good game, 42 yards. So C.J.'s got to get some weapons going. It's just not happened with Hutchinson, you know, and Mechie, unfortunately. So that's going to be something I'm watching for sure, is that injury report this week. And then when I look back on that first game against the Browns, Nico Collins didn't do a whole lot in that game, but that was his first game back after dealing with that calf injury. So it seems like he's been picking up steam these last couple games and really showing out, looking a lot more healthy. So I think for C.J., he's just got to have some targets and some protection, like Charlie alluded to.
Yeah, and if you're the Browns, presumably you take the philosophy of in the passing game, well, anyone but Nico Collins is going to beat us. So perhaps, hello, Dalton Schultz, as presumably the second most inviting target for Stroud. It sounds, at least as of midweek, that Woods is a pretty good bet to return, but he's strictly a possession guy. Noah Brown showed some big playability earlier in the season anyway. But geez, with a fracture in the back, if he makes it back, at what level will he be able to operate? I'm really curious to see how the Browns attack defending Collins. Do they say, all right, Denzel Ward, if not take him out of the game, at least minimize him? You presume they roll extra coverage Nico Collins' way. I also think a real wild card in this game, and it surfaced a couple times against the Colts, C.J. Stroud running the football. The Texans didn't run it well against Cleveland, but again, Keenum was the quarterback. Nothing went well in that game against Cleveland. I don't think Singletary gashes them for 100 yards, but as a compliment, if you have them spread out and Stroud can avoid that pass rush and you can get by a five-man pass rush, there should be some open field. Not that you're putting in option plays or RPOs. That's not the Texans' offense. But I mean, Stroud tactically taking off when under the pass rush could be a real weapon element for the Texans in this game.
Devin Singletary was held to just 44 yards in week 16. Last week versus the Colts, only 63 yards. Josh, will we finally see some throws to the running back?
Man, I hope so, but it's just so inconsistent how they do that. You know, some weeks they choose to do it, some weeks they don't. You know, it's just, what is Slowik going to do? It's really hard to predict. It makes a lot of sense. And, you know, when looking at the matchup here, total yards against, Browns are first. Passing yards against, Browns are first. So you're going to take all the easy yardage you can get. If you can get that check down and pick up a first down with Singletary, you know, pick up some yards with his legs, I think that's all going to be important. I'll be interested to see if Damian Pierce does anything in this game. He had zero carries against the Colts. I wonder if he's going to be a factor at all in this matchup.
And Singletary, you mentioned the 44 yards. It was only on 9 carries. So that's almost 5 yards per pop, but those statistics were meaningless because the game was such a wipeout. It took out the running game as an element the first time.
The defensive line has been solid for the Texans for most of the season, especially when it comes to the run. We know Will Anderson Jr. is still suffering the effects of that gimpy ankle. How do you like their chances of containing Joe Flacco and Amari Cooper? Although Amari Cooper is gimpy himself, how do you like their chances of being able to contain that pass game this time around?
Well, I'd say better than the first time around, but that would be the definition of damning with faint praise. It's not how I mean it. Will Anderson didn't play the first game. John Grenard played 3 snaps the first game. Flacco is an incredible story. The quarterback contrast as a storyline of this game is amazing, right? C.J. Stroud, the Ohio State kid, an historically phenomenal rookie season, and now he's up against the Browns in the playoffs. Then you have Flacco drawn out off the street, out of mothballs. He turns 39 years old next week, and he's just been spectacular as the Browns' 4th different starting quarterback this season. And of course, his opus was in destroying the Texans. You mentioned Amari Cooper, 265 yards, but he hadn't played since. A bruised heel. Will he have that same level of explosiveness? Flacco likes to do it. Teams against the Texans have done it through the course of the year, taking the shots deep, right? Cooper, 75-yard touchdown catch in the first game, 53-yard catch, 52-yard catch, whatever it was inside the 5, the first possession of that first game. So like the Browns defending Nico Collins, if you're the Texans, you have to say, all right, Amari Cooper, you're not getting 165 yards, much less 265 yards. We want to see some of the wide receiver make plays against us.
I think with Amari, maybe it slows him down a little bit, but I would expect him to play. He got that extra week of rest. He hasn't missed a full game since 2021 with the Cowboys. So he's a guy that's going to go out there and give it a shot. So you got to count on him being out there and being a problem. The one thing I'll say, the Texans picked off Flacco twice in that game. He's thrown a pick in every single game he's played this year, 3 against the Bears, 2 against the Texans. So I do think maybe they can catch some footballs and get some good field position, pick off Flacco. And Charlie mentioned really no Will Anderson, no Grenard. Sheldon Rankins wasn't going in that game either. He didn't record a single stat. So 3 out of your 4 defensive linemen didn't play. So I think health is going to be a huge thing in, you know, stopping Flacco in this matchup. David Njoku, he's a guy to be aware of. You've seen the Texans struggle against tight ends all year. He had a touchdown, 44 yards, 6 catches in the first matchup. But their other receivers didn't really do hardly anything. It was kind of Amari Cooper's game against the Texans was kind of like Nico Collins' game against the Colts. It was just kind of a one-man show through the air. So that's going to be critical. They got to slow down those two guys, Njoku and Cooper.
If there was a dark horse X factor out of this game, what would you look for? Is it something like special teams that could kind of tilt or shift the pendulum one way or the other?
Always an X factor, and Cameron Johnson's been spectacular all season in turning the field in the Texans' direction. In the kicking game, Kami Fairbairn's coming off that missed extra point that could have made him a GOAT, but they escaped. Well, if we set that to the side, Fairbairn's been automatic. The Browns lost their kicker against the Texans, right? Damian Pierce, the kickoff return for a touchdown. Dustin Hopkins blew out a hamstring. He's not back. Riley Patterson signed late in the year. He's already missed a couple of kicks for the Browns, but he did kick a game winner in the playoffs for the Jaguars last year, so it's not as if he's some total rube. But I would give the advantage to the Texans in the kicking and punting game.
For me, it's going to be, can the Texans get back to holding the run game in check? You know, the Browns they're going to see that tape of Jonathan Taylor running all over them. So I'm sure they're going to want to try and get Jerome Ford going, maybe Kareem Hunt, at least try and get something going in the ground game. But the Texans were really good in that first game. Ford had 15 carries for 25 yards. Kareem Hunt, 7 carries for 11 yards. So they were really good at stopping the run. And they were up, you know, late in that game, wanting to run the game out. And they really couldn't do it. You saw the Texans kind of come back. The Browns had to put their starters back in the game. So, you know, if I'm the Browns, I'm watching that tape going, we got to find a way to get the ground game going. The Colts did. So I think that'll be a focus. Hopefully D'Amico's got those guys really working on tackling this week, because there were some issues with that against Indy.
I think it's about the pass rush. They can't have Flacco just sitting back in the pocket, allowing receivers time to get deeply down the field, because the Texans are vulnerable in the secondary. to the big plays. And of course, an X factor in every football game at every level, turnovers. The Texans plus 10, right? Led by Stroud's marvelous, only 5 interceptions thrown for the season. Singletary didn't lose a fumble the entire season. The Texans a plus 10 in the turnovers. The Browns a minus 9. Pretty remarkable. An 11-win team minus 9. It suggests that the Texans better win the turnover battle if they're going to mildly upset the Browns on Saturday, right? This is the smallest point spread. There are a couple of 3-point lines elsewhere. This is the smallest spread of all the super wild card weekend games.
Yeah, one other thing, that the Browns are first in the entire NFL in time of possession. So that's why I think if they get the ground game going, it could be a real struggle for the Texans.
Well, given how close Texans have played games and within one score games all season, it makes sense that that line would be close. What's going to be your predictions for Texans-Browns wildcard weekend?
Well, I don't think the Browns qualify as a Cinderella story. Joe Flacco's 38 years old. He's already won a Super Bowl, so I don't think he's a Cinderella story. But I'll chuck my dart at the clock striking midnight on the Joe Flacco and Cleveland Brown story, depriving them of a possible shot to go play Baltimore in the next round. I will go Texans 20, Browns 17.
Ooh, Charlie, you stole my score.
Great minds think alike or something.
Yeah, it's a 2.5-point spread right now. So, you know, obviously the Browns are favored. But yeah, I think it's going to be a lower scoring game with that great Browns defense. But I think the Texans pull out a close one.
There's no rule against duplicate predictions, so we'll take both. Both will qualify here. That's going to be it for Texans on Tap. Again, we're going to be live Saturday evening to recap this game on YouTube and hopefully be talking about CJ Stroud and company's first playoff win. Thanks for listening. Go Texans!